Our Bibles are open tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, as we continue in our revival week. The Lord has drawn my attention to this passage of Scripture. I love the Proverbs, don't you? I love the Proverbs. And I want you to notice, we'll just read one verse here while you're turning there. When you think about what the songs are to our devotional life, Proverbs is to our practical life. When you think about the Psalms is a place that we come to the Lord and give praise and thanksgiving and worship to the Lord. But when you come to the Proverbs, it's about our walk with the Lord. One directs our emotions and the other directs our actions. You see, it's one thing to come into the presence of God, to sense His presence in a real way. But after we pull away from that and go out into the world, does the world see us? Those around us, do they understand that we have been in the presence of the Lord? Do they see Christ in our life, in our walk? What Proverbs, again, is to us, we think about the Psalms and the Proverbs go together. Someone said it like this, that the Psalms brings the Christian to his knees, but the Proverbs brings the Christians to his feet. Mobbin used to say that we need to put some legs on our prayers. If God answers prayers, then it ought to be known by others. They ought to see something different in our life. And so this is a divine order that God has given us. The Christian, again, must be prepared. But before we can be on our feet, prepared to live a life and for our actions to be shown and to be displayed, then it begins on our knees. I trust that you're spending time with God, not only in the Psalms, but in prayer. It's important that this book is only for Christians. Proverbs talks much about life. And I hear the secular world many times quoting Proverbs for their life, but yet they know nothing about Christ. The book of Proverbs, again, is for Christians, for those, again, who know Him. It's not a plan on how to get right. May I say, it is God's plan on how to do right after we get right with God. And there are so many people that get that reversed. Would you write this thought down, that the English proverb is to say a great truth in a few words? The Hebrew word proverb means to rule or to govern. God desires to come into our hearts, into our life, but God wants to rule in our life as we submit to Him. God wants to govern everything that we do, everything that passes through our eye gate and through our ear gate and through our brain, that God wants us again to have that sanctified. God wants us to use that to, again, grow, not just grow in the Lord, but to be a witness to a lost and dying world. And so we understand that the theme here for Proverbs, you may want to note this, is the laws of God for the lives of God. Excuse me. The laws of God for the lives of God's men and women. God wants to use all of us. And so we look into this passage of Scripture. And may I just say something to you. How many enjoy reading the Proverbs? Let's see. How many read the Proverbs? How many read the Proverbs daily? At least one proverb. Think about it. There's 31 chapters. And when we think about it, it would be good to read one chapter every day of each month. Now, I know there's some months only have 30 or 28 days. But to read one of the Proverbs, one chapter every day, that would be a good place to start. And understand again that you read that chapter and to apply it to your life. Now, when you think about the Proverbs, who's the author? Well, the wisest man in all the Bible, a man by the name of Solomon, is accredited to most of the Proverbs. But he's not the one who's written all of the Proverbs. When you think about Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, reminds us that Solomon had written 3,000 Proverbs and 1,005 songs. You ought to turn to that scripture sometime, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. And they tell us that about 800 of these 3,000 Proverbs are found in this book. But may I say, regardless who the penman is, who actually is writing down this proverb, God is the author. God is the author of this book. These 31 chapters, may I say, is God speaking to us through man. And as you read the Proverbs, we're actually aware, we should be acutely aware, that God is concerned with our everyday life. He's concerned where we are. He's concerned what we're doing. He's concerned down to the youngest Christian. God wants to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Let's just read this one verse, verse 7 of Psalm 16. Let's read it together, can we? And the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Would you say that first phrase with me? When a man's ways please the Lord. The question is, do our ways please the Lord? Does my life please the Lord? Now think about it. Everything that I say, the places I go, the way that I act, the way that I respond, the things that I do, my attitude about life itself, every area of my life, does it please the Lord? And the Bible reminds us, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. There's no need arguing with your enemy. There's no need to argue with those who dislike your actions even. There's no need to argue and debate your convictions with a lost individual. They can't understand any of that. Now, the best thing to do is to pray for them. Give them the gospel. Live the life in front of them. Let them see Christ in you. And so the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. The Bible says in verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, would you quote it with me? He had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. Now, when we talk about pleasing God, just mark this down. If you're going to please God, you may not please everybody around you. How many find problems sometimes of somebody that you are trying to get along with and you'd like to please them, but I want you to know, you can't please the carnal man. You can't please people. Well, let me just stop and retract that and say, you can't please anybody, truthfully. Even Christians. You know, they may think one thing and you think another, or they think you're doing something wrong, or you can't do that right. And it's hard to please a lot of people. There's no question about it, saved and lost, about pleasing others. If we're living to please others, that, my friend, is self-serving. We're not about pleasing others. It's about pleasing God. For if you're pleasing others, young people, you'll give in. If you're pleasing others, yes, you'll compromise. If you're pleasing others, you'll act like they act when you're with them and act like someone else when you're with a Christian. May I say, that doesn't please God. And so it's about being pleasing to the Lord. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul writes, for do I now persuade men or God? You ought to mark that text. Look at that question. Galatians 1:10. For do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? And then he goes on and says, for I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Do you know there are a lot of people that are just living to please everybody? How many agree with me that you cannot please everybody all the time? Would you agree with that? Matter of fact, would you even agree with this? There's some people you can't please any time. You agree with that? You can't ever please them. Doesn't matter what you do, what you say, you can't please them. And some of you are probably thinking about your boss or you're thinking about somebody else, but we cannot be men pleasers. I jotted this thought down this morning as looking at this text. What is a people pleaser? Dr. Dan Brennan, MD, Cambridge, Massachusetts, medically reviewed this question. And he talked about the key to success and the key to failure. And he basically said that if you plan to please everybody, that indeed is a key to failure. Think about it. If you're living to please everyone else, you'll live in total frustration. It's a key to failure. He goes on and says, a people pleaser is typically someone everyone considers helpful and kind. When you need help with a project or someone to help you study for an exam, they're more willing to step up. They are a people pleaser. If you recognize yourself in these descriptions, you may be a people pleaser. But at some point, constantly making yourself available to others can take an emotional toll. You may find yourself neglecting your own needs and those that are around you that you love because you feel that you're disappointing someone else if you find yourself in that clutches of being a man or a woman pleaser. May I encourage you to write these things down, and we'll make application from God's Word. What are the signs of a people pleaser? And as I ask that question, do you know anyone that appears to be a people pleaser? Do you find yourself sometime living to please others rather than to please God? So how do you know whether you're a nice person or someone who has a profile of a people pleaser? It is one thing to help others because it's part of your nature. It's the Christ thing to do. But people pleasers often end up being taken advantage by others. Signs you may be a people pleaser, he goes on and says, include apologizing for things that aren't your fault. People pleasers often make themselves responsible for emotional responses of others. If someone feels bad, you may blame yourself or fear that person thinks you are the problem. It's good to say you're sorry. Amen. And there may be times that we find ourselves like the fawns, that we can't say we're sorry. Now, these young people have no idea when I'm talking about the fawns, but for those of us who grew up in the 50s and the 60s, we understand the fawns. Amen. You got it? All right. I'll say it. What was the words he would say? He said, I can't, sorry. He couldn't say he was sorry. But some people go overboard. There may be a deeper issue. If you frequently find yourself apologizing for everything that you have no control over. And the Lord reminds us that we make way, that a man should please the Lord. Secondly, he says, not being able to say no. If you find it difficult to tell others no when they ask you to do something, you may be a people pleaser. Many people pleasers prefer making up excuses later to get out of a commitment instead of saying no from the start. If you do follow through, you can regret not having strength to stand up for yourself. Thirdly, changing your personality depending on who's around you. People pleasers tend to shift their behavior, their attitude to match some person or some group that can lead you to acting ways that are out of character or participating in actions you disagree with to fit in socially. People pleasers tend to do anything possible to avoid conflict, even if it means entirely becoming a different person. Now, may I stop there? This is an MD that's giving these stats here and said this is a people pleaser. But immediately my mind was taken to the Word of God when he says, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. As a child of God, it's not about pleasing others. It's about pleasing God. It's about being where we need to be with God, that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and that we're becoming more Christ-like in our attitude, in our actions, in everything that we do, and that others see Christ in us. But it's not caving in and giving in to please others, even if it's about pleasing those at home. Fourthly, he says, Your worth depends on how others see you. People pleasers need validation from others to feel good about themselves. They can go to extremes to earn words of praise from others. The confidence of people pleasers rises and falls based on how others perceive them. Did you get those? Apologizing for things that aren't your fault. Not being able to say no. Changing your personality depending on who you're with. And your worth depends on how others see you. The effects of being a people pleaser. If you are in a constant people pleasing mode, you can lose sight of who you are. You may have no idea what truly makes you happy. People pleasers may spend so much time trying to please others that they do not know what to do with themselves. If there's no one asking them for something, doing for others, constant people pleasers behavior lead to lack of self-care. Constantly devoting yourself to others can cause you to neglect the need that you have in your own life. To build up resentment. You find yourself bottling up anger and feel that the people now are taking advantage, and they lead you to a passive-aggressive comments and show other signs of frustration. You may start pulling away from people instead of letting them know what's going on and working to improve this situation. Then you have the inability to enjoy yourself. The stress from constant people pleasers can make it hard to enjoy simple pleasures, even as going out for an ice cream or sitting by the fire or just being at home with family or just enjoying God's presence. And may I say, this is a secular MD given points here of people pleasers. As I read this passage of Scripture, the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So it begins by not pleasing others. It begins by being pleasing to the Lord. And when we're pleasing to the Lord, may I say, others will see Christ in you. They'll sense a radiance in your own heart, in your face. They'll see it coming from your heart, that love and that peace that passeth all understanding. God wants us to be Christ-like. Amen? He wants us to be obedient to His command. Certainly we are to love others, as the preacher preached last night. But may I say, you cannot keep loving others thinking that part of that love that I have for others is trying to please them. By the way, not just to the young people. If you find yourself trying to please everyone else, you'll compromise on your own convictions. Trying again to appease them. God help us not to be men pleasers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul writes, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus, that as you received us, how you ought to walk, and what does he say? And to please God, so you would abound more and more. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. Mark that text, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. Notice Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Galatia. Paul's not going to compromise. He's not going to give in. He's not going to try to just satisfy them with what he's saying or what he's doing. And he says in Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You see, when we talk about pleasing others, God says, no, no. What is pleasing in His sight is when we're obedient to the Lord, when we please the Lord. If we can calm our enemies down, certainly we should be able to calm our friends down. He says, your enemies are even at peace with you if you're pleasing to the Lord. Very simple verse. We've quoted it many times. We preach from it. It was a verse that Marcia and I established when we first got married. And that's 49 years this August. Hard to believe. Matthew 6:33. Let's quote it together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's about seeking the Lord's face. Are there times that Marcia and I may not be in total agreement in things? Oh, yeah. Are there times when she's not pleased with me? Oh, yeah. You see, we're married. But we also are Christians. And we love the Lord. Look, it's about seeking the Lord's face first. Now, I want to try to please her. I want to do things that are right. But sometimes I fail to pick up my socks. You know, that's not pleasing to her. She wants me to pick up my socks. Young people, you're not by yourself and leaving your socks and your clothes behind sometime when you could walk to the clothes hamper just as good as mom could or your wife could. Some ladies ought to be saying amen right there somewhere, but they're not. So I'll move on. But, you know, sometimes we find ourselves just doing things just to please others, but sometimes we ought to do things because we love one another. Amen? And because we're a team. Look, it's one thing to please others, but what about just pleasing ourselves? I know some people who just live to please themselves. Now, that is probably the most selfish thing a person could ever do, is just as long as I'm happy, just as long as I'm satisfied, then that's okay. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 15, and let's see what God's Word says about it. You'll find here, as the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Rome, Romans 15, verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And what does he say? And not to please ourselves. Let every one of us, what? Please his neighbor for good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. It's about giving ourselves to others indeed. What's the little poem? Others, Lord, others, let this my motto be. Others, Lord, others, that I may live like thee. But may I say, even when we're living for others, allowing Christ to flow through us and to love one another as Christ loved us, accepting those just like Christ accepts those, but doesn't mean that you have to always please them in giving in to them. Otherwise, you'll find yourself compromising. There's no question about it. But pleasing God. It begins, as we read in our text, I hope that you've marked it, when a man's ways please the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord. Pleasing God is omitted when you're living for self to please others or trying to please ourselves. Then we're omitting God and His Word. Self-sufficient? Not at all. The Bible reminds us that we're saved by grace plus nothing. If we're going to grow in the Lord, it's by faith. Amen. Thank God for the faith that we can have in the Lord and that we can trust Him. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. May I say that I'm not self-sufficient with my own faith. I need faith in Christ. I'm not self-sufficient with my own abilities or my whatever I comprehend. Not at all, but it's about leaning on Christ. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When we think about our faith and how long we've been a Christian, we think about our own abilities, we think about our experiences in life, we think about our knowledge. We have not arrived. We have not arrived. And may I say, the only way that I'm going to please God is by being obedient to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. That's the faith chapter. What does it say? Faith, what? But without faith, it's what? Thank you very much. Let's say it aloud as she did, can we? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's about having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you get to the place where you think because of your ability, because of your longevity of being a Christian and being around God's people and knowing the Bible, that I'm self-sufficient, I promise you, you're heading for a fall. and you will not please God. But it's constantly trusting the Lord by faith. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God allows things to happen in our life to allow us to put ourselves on pause, to realize that it's not us that's accomplishing anything, but it's God? Sometimes God has to remind us even to bring us to our knees. And so may we always remember that if I'm going to please God, it begins by trusting Him, simple obedience, and I live this faith life in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, notice it again. And to please God, what does he say? How you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So we have a choice. Are we going to live the faith life, or are we going to live the flesh life? Are we going to live it on our own strength, or are we going to live it by simple faith? Would you write two or three texts down? It begins by exercise and obedience. Galatians 5:16. Paul writes, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now turn to back to the Hebrews book of Hebrews, I should say. Chapter 11. Very familiar passage of Scripture. As we talk about the faith chapter, look down in verse number 5. And the Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he" what? That's it. That he pleased God. "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It's about pleasing God. And so my question to all of us this evening, and to myself, do I want to please God? What am I doing in serving the Lord? Do I want the accolades of others? Do I want the applause of others? I promise you, when the accolades stop, the applause stop, you'll stop. But when we understand that we're serving God, who has given us this wonderful life, and that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and that we desire one day to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What did the Lord say as the Lord Jesus Christ was going to the cross? What was that voice from heaven? "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Don't we want to hear that? That God is pleased with us? That it's not me, but it's God. Whatever takes place, that's God. And the preacher preached last night and the night before when we talk about it's the love of Christ that constraineth us. And that love that lives within us will cause us to serve unconsciously. It's just part of us. It's who we are. Not because we want to be seen. Not because we want somebody to congratulate us. Not that we're trying to build up ourselves or be puffed up. But that we're doing what God has commanded that we do, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And to yield. Again, serving others. And we serve God by serving our fellow man. Pretty simple, isn't it? And so he reminds us in this text about this simple area of pleasing God. By faith, Enoch. And the Bible says that he pleased God. Well, let's turn to another text before we close. James chapter number 4. James 4. Look in verse number 3. "You ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You're adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Now notice what he says. You ought to mark these action words. Verse 7, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift thee up. Would you mark those? Notice what he says in this text. In verse number 7, he reminds us to submit to the Lord. Verse 7 as well, to resist. Verse 8, to draw. Verse 8 again, to cleanse. Verse 8, to purify. Verse 10, to humble ourselves as a servant. As a servant. And the Bible reminds us that whatsoever you do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:23. That means, again, that we're not trying to be seen by others, but it's just exercising obedience to the Lord. So how am I going to please God? I close with this thought. Go back to our text. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Do your ways please the Lord? Before you came into this place, were your actions, your ways pleasing the Lord? Your thought process, your agenda even for tomorrow, are all of these things pleasing to the Lord? How does that happen? By submitting, by resisting, by drawing closer to the Lord, cleansing our hands and purify our hearts, and in all humility, humble ourselves to the Lord. And may I say, in that, you find yourself exercising obedience. But it's also about exalting the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. He says, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews writes that we be well-pleasing in His sight. When we're well-pleasing in His sight, we're exalting the Lord. When we're exercising obedience, may I say, God's pleased. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to do a little Bible study again. Ephesians chapter 5, we've studied some of these things. Look down in verse number 8, Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doeth or doth make manifest is light. He's speaking here again about manifesting Christ in our life. Others see Christ in us. Be an example to others. He says, walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. One day, we're going to stand before the Lord. If I'm going to allow Christ to be my example and to follow Him, if I'm going to exalt Him in every area of my life, then I must examine myself, exalt Him in my life, and then I must be example to others that others see Christ in me, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That means pleasing to the Lord. Not just what I say, but how I say it. How many times have you ever said something and you wish you could just take those words back? Amen? It's about giving it to the Lord and asking God to help us to be the Christian that we need to be, that it would be acceptable to the Lord. One day I'm going to stand before the Lord. And Paul writes this thing for all of us to question ourselves about when we stand before the Lord. From 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 and 10, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may what? Be accepted of Him. Be accepted of Him. That's being pleasing to the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, we've talked about a lot of things, but it's simply this. It's about what's pleasing to the Lord. How am I going to be pleasing to the Lord in my life? Can others see Christ in me? Go back to our text. And he says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I want to be at peace with others. Now, I want others to see Christ in me. I don't want to be a fraud. I don't want to be a counterfeit. If I'm going to be the real deal, and if you're going to be the real deal, it's about yielding completely to the Lord, being pleasing to the Lord through our obedience. And through that, I promise you, you'll be pleasing, not only in His sight, but others will sense something special in your life as well. Now we've come through revival. The preachers preached hard every night. What a blessing. Challenged us from the Word of God. And it all comes down to this one thought. Through revival, meaning to make alive again, how am I going to be revived? Well, it all starts with confessing that we've sinned. And he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And what? And the truth is not in us. But I'm glad he puts that conjunction in there. But if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a plural there. Not just sin. That sin of unbelief, that's been settled. He's talking about sins in a Christian's life. 1 John is written to Christians. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But he reminds us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's about giving it all to the Lord. Many decisions have been made this week. And as we continue to go forward, others must see Christ in us. And if others are going to see Christ in us, it's about first being pleasing to God. Not trying, again, to please others, but be pleasing, the Bible says, in His sight. God knows exactly where you are. And God knows exactly what we need. God wants to use all of us. And may we find ourselves when a man's ways please the Lord. Let's stand, would you please? Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And now, Lord, I pray as we have preached, I believe what you would have us to say for this hour. And how we couldn't get away from this text as we kept looking as to what we needed to do for this night. And Lord, as a Christian, we desire to be pleasing to you. Now, Holy Spirit, you know each heart. You know where we all are. And even in studying for this message, how you convicted myself of times that no doubt I'm not pleasing to the Lord. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us of that. Help us, Lord, always to please you. That others would not only see Christ, but would be influenced, be challenged, be drawn. And Lord, I pray for the young and the old. And we never get to the place where we've arrived. May we be obedient. And he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.